Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Most of you are familiar, if not quite familiar, with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5. It is always our All Saints Day Sunday reading, but we also read it and study it in depth at least once every 3 years in the cycle A, the Matthew cycle of readings. We cover it in Epiphany 3, 4, 5, 6, and if we can get there, 7. Luke's Sermon on the Plain, part of our readings for today, mirrors Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. And whereas Matthew's principal audience were Jews who revered sort of that mountain teaching, Luke's audience, Greeks and Romans, saw mountains more as a place of prayer, a place more of solitary contemplation. And so Luke simply moves Jesus' Sermon on the Mount to the plain, to a level place. Luke then further emphasizes that in Jesus' ministry and message, it is for everybody. It's not just his disciples sitting up on a mountain someplace. The purposeful mention of Sidon and Tyre implies that Jesus has a Gentile as well as a Jewish audience. God is talking to all of us. Luke chapter 6, verse 17, he came down, he just stood on a level plain, and a great crowd of his disciples and a multitude of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out of him and healed him. In verse 20, Jesus lifts up his eyes and begins to teach, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Now, this movement of location doesn't do any violence to the text. I assume Jesus probably preached this sermon maybe 100 times. It is a core of his teaching. It is the rock-solid core of our own sanctification. It is the center of our lifestyle, which is becoming increasingly an alternative lifestyle, by the way. It is the center of our lifestyle. It is the center of those who call themselves followers of the way. It is the center of the life of those who call themselves followers of Christ. And yet it is the greatest barrier to evangelism in the modern day. Jesus continues with a barrage of blessings and woes, a long list of injunctions to those who will follow Christ. His list requires the hearers to offer and to do and to give. He commands us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate you, to bless those that curse you, to pray for those who abuse you. And if someone strikes you on the cheek, give him your other cheek so he may strike that one as well. And if they take away your cloak, offer them your tunic as well. Give to everyone who begs of you. From the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. He can have them. Take them. And you don't do that, do you? Neither do I, by the way. Just picking on you individually. Do not hit me. I promise you, if you strike me, I am not going to be thinking about what Jesus has to say, first off. I may feel bad about it later, huh? And if you get my jacket, I'm pretty sure you're not going to get my shirt, too. You might get my jacket off of me, but you're not getting my shirt. I'm not walking home shirtless. This is not a topless thing I do. I don't do that. I don't know why. Actually, I do know why. Because I'm a sinner. And so are you. And I'm selfish. And I like my jackets. I have a whole slew of them. I love shoes and jackets. I can't get enough. And I want them. And I want them to be mine. The world is filled with shysters. The world is filled with con artists and snake oil salesmen, and crooks are everywhere. And they'll steal anything that's not nailed down. They'll steal your money. They'll take your bike. They'll take your house, home, land, animals, spouse, reputation. We're an evil people. And we live amongst an evil people. And I don't think it's going to get a lot better. Not anytime soon. Because we're the problem. We're the problem. Humanity's the problem. We're selfish. We make excuses. We make excuses for ourselves. We make excuses for other people. We let their excuses stand. We're like, well, that's a pretty good excuse. So I'll file that away. I'm going to use that next year. I love COVID, man. Isn't that great? You want to do something? You're like, I'm sorry, I can't go. I was exposed to COVID. Not that I've ever done that, of course. But I could see. When's the last time somebody asked you for your jacket? I mean, really, do people even ask that anymore? Can I have your jacket? When's the last time somebody begged you? I mean, like, begged you to do anything. And I'm not talking about, like, the panhandlers looking for change, because that's silly. I mean, I hardly keep any change. I still don't like to give it to them, but basically because I'm annoyed that they're in the middle of the road shaking pans trying to pull my change out of me. When's the last time somebody really begged you for something? When's the last time somebody stole something from you and you had the opportunity to get it back? I mean, that's sort of amazing right there. For the most part, when stuff gets stolen from me, it's gone. I don't ever see it again. The possible exception of a jacket, and then I just go to my daughter's room and look for it, and sometimes I can find it occasionally. I'm sure I have enemies. But to tell you the truth, I really don't pay them any mind. Jesus says, bless those that curse you. And that one, I get cursed quite a bit. So that one's kind of easier to do. But that's not really, blessing them is not the first thing that comes up into my mind. Pray for those who abuse you. You might argue all of this is Jesus just saying, be nice, guys. Just be nice. Be cool, right? And then Jesus goes farther. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Don't just love people that love you. What benefit is it to you? If you love people that love you, that's useless. Even sinners do that. If you do good to those people who do good to you, what good is it for you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those of whom you expect to receive back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and expect their investment back. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend it to them. Expect nothing in return. And your reward will be great, for you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. And you can be merciful. And you can be merciful because you know what it's like to be given mercy. You who have been loved by Christ, you who have good things of God added unto you, it makes you uniquely positioned within this society to be people of a difference, to be people of change, people who live a really valuable life to those around them. We can give, and we can give generously because we have received generously. You were first given by your Father, despite the fact that you are unworthy. Despite the fact that you are unworthy of eternal life, it has been granted unto you by your Lord and your God. You are unworthy of God's devotion. You are unworthy of God's care. You deserve nothing from anybody. You are unworthy. And yet God has seen fit to give mercy unto you. To forgive your debt, not just in part, but in whole. God gave you his enemy, his other cheek. Not some old used tunic. Not some useless bag of coins that you had sitting in your car. God has given unto you his very own son, the greatest treasure that heaven has to offer was given to you. God has taken what was seemed bad and made it for your good and for the good of your neighbor. This is our Old Testament lesson for today. Joseph's brothers were fed up with him. They were fed up. They were fed up with his constant bragging. They were fed up with his tattling. They were fed up with him being the golden child of whom everybody bragged about. And so they sold him into slavery. Talk about not loving your neighbor. And God took that evil act. God took that evil and vile act and turned it into life. And not just life for Joseph, but life for Joseph and his brothers and his wives and his brothers' wives and their children and their grandchildren, going all the way down 400 years later to slaves who had never heard the name of Joseph at all are freed from slavery because of that vile act that had been changed, sanctified by the all-blessed hand of the Lord God Almighty. Jesus' horrible death is the greatest gift that God has given unto mankind. It accomplishes everything necessary for your salvation. By the cross of Christ, you have been forgiven. Now, therefore, go out and do the same. Forgive the debts that have been rendered unto you. Go out and die. Go die. Go die to yourself. Go die to your stuff. Go die and give of your life and your treasures and your time and give freely of these things. Nothing is won or lost by you having a lot of stuff. Your coat, your change, your very cheek. What is it really? It's nothing. It's a blip in time. You've been freed. You've been freed from the necessity to do anything in order to earn your eternal life. What remains in this life is not a burden, but a grace. Not something that you have to be qualified for, but it's a gift. It's an opportunity. Every single day is a new opportunity to grant new love, to grant new mercy to somebody else. If we'll just look for the opportunities to show them the love of Christ that you have been shown. Luke chapter 6, 27 gives credibility. This gives credibility to Jesus' offer of the forgiveness of the world. It gives credibility to the eschatological fact that this world is dying. This world is perishing. This world is passing away, and so is its people. And people are more important than things. They're just things. People are forever. The CDC reports from 2000 to 2016, the age-adjusted suicide rate has increased 30%. 30%! How is that not on the news every single night? It went from 10.4 to 13.5 per 100,000 population, an increasing average of 1% per year from 2000 to 2006. It is increased by a 2% margin from 2006 to 2016. And you gotta believe me, the 16 numbers to 22 are not getting better. They're not going down. They're going back up again. Why? Because we live in a plastic society where you can be anything you want. All you got to do is swipe a credit card and you can go out and you can get a brand new house. You can get a brand new outfit. You can become somebody new. They really believe this. They believe that you can become something new tomorrow. All you got to do is pay for it. The problem is it's a facade. It's fake. It's costume. You can't change who you are. And you are the redeemed of Christ. You are the children of God. The children of the Heavenly Father. Why would you want to change that? Therefore, live as Christ lives. This is what affluence and selfishness gets you. We don't know how to live for other people anymore. We don't know how to live for other people anymore. We don't know how to live sacrificially anymore. And the pagans don't have an example. They can't even imagine. Do the hard things. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's the golden rule. They taught us that in elementary school, those of you who are really old. It's also the guiding principle of a sanctified Christian life. People are more important than stuff. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In other words, if it's not on your list of things that you would do to somebody else, don't do it. Just don't do it. I know we don't have a lot of great examples, which is awesome, by the way. It is really awesome that we don't have a lot of great examples because that allows you to set the curve. You get to set the curve in your neighborhood, in your work. You get to set the curve on what it's going to look like to live as a sacrificial child of the Heavenly Father who believes that people are more important than things. Pray for somebody. Sweep somebody's driveway when they're not looking. Rake a shut-in's yard. Say please and thank you. Apologize. Apologize for somebody else. Tell your best friend that they're your best friend. Tell them you love them. Tell the people around you you love them. Make it weird, man. I'm like, tell them all the time. Every time you come through the door, they're like, oh, they're going to tell me he loves me again. Oh. And then put that into action through a sacrificial, Christ-filled life. I think at some level, we all know how to be good. We all know how to be good people. Some of us, we just have a harder time about it every once in a while. We forget. We forget that we're supposed to be people of love and charity. That we're supposed to be people of provision. We let our emotions get the best of us. We let the stress get the best of us. We let a life situation get the best of us. We let our distrust of the other get the best of us. Practicing the golden rule, it takes time. It takes hard work. It is a life of sanctification. It doesn't come easy. It's never come easy. It's not supposed to come easy. It is a life worked at. It is an act of rebellion against this present evil age. You who have been empowered by Christ, who have been enlivened by faith, demonstrate the love of Christ for them through your acts of service. And it doesn't matter if you live or you die with only your name or only the change in your pocket or if you have $1 million. Your salvation has already been accomplished. And it doesn't matter if you live and die because you already have eternal life. In Christ, God's eternal goodness has been given unto you, and He gives you the things of this world that they can be gifted unto the world out of Christian freedom, not out of compulsion. And yet people are more important than things. Be merciful. For your God, your Lord and Savior, is merciful to you. So give it away. Or keep it. I don't care. Have it all or have nothing. It makes no difference. All of this is nothing more than a gift, a thing that will soon fade like grass. It'll wither like a flower. What is the world to me? We're just strangers here. We're sojourners in a foreign land. Heaven is our home. And we're going to leave everything we have behind. Let's leave it in the best possible fashion. In acts of mercy and love and sacrifice that lend credence to the fact that Jesus is indeed the light of the world, that He has given His Son to die for you. He's forgiven you all of your sins. Go in peace.